Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Brother Joe spoke to us about a young man. I am going to speak a little bit about an old man. He's a young man, I'm an old man, so it would be fitting. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 19. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So far, the word of God. I want to continue on that very same line, but in a different direction. And I want you to listen carefully to what the Spirit of God will be telling you tonight. One of the things that we have highlights when we were speaking together in the Bible study is the importance of the Word of God. The first line of every book usually have some significant meanings to it. And I was struck, and I think it was touched on, and it just kept pondering in my head this afternoon after we touch on it, about how Peter opened this epistle. But before I go there, I want to be very brief here to talk to you about the importance of the Word of God. When the Apostle Paul was leaving the scene, he said in Acts chapter 20, I command you to the Lord and to the word of his grace that is able to establish you and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. The fact of the matter is this. This is the book. This is the word of God. This is the voice of the Lord that you need to take heed to. It's a door that as you enter through it, it gives you an understanding of the counsel of God, of the purpose of God for you. You will get to know more about the Lord Jesus. You would get to know more about what God has in mind concerning him and concerning you. And you would only find that through reading the Word of God. In the New Testament, we have 27 books, right? So I want you to imagine it this way. I want you to imagine that we are going to build a door. The door have a bottom step or a foundation. It has two posts and it has the top lintel, right? That's what the door is consisting of. So now let's take those 27 books in the New Testament and put them in that way. And I want you to take notes. I want you to remember that because as you read the Word of God, I want you when you open a book, you understand what is that book is all about. Because that's what Peter was writing to those saints at that time. And I will tell you why the second epistle is very important. Why the first one was not enough. So the first thing as we will build that door, I want you to consider that the foundation are the four Gospels and the book of Acts. So there are five out of the 27. So how many left? Wow, you guys are bad in math. There are 27 books. We took five. So how many left? 22. So the five steps, the five bottom steps, the foundation, are the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, and the book of Acts. Why do we have four Gospels? Because the Lord Jesus is so great. Now, when they make something that they want you to see it very well, they make it in three dimensions, 3D, right? Well, the Lord Jesus is so great that the Spirit of God gave us four dimensions, 4D, not 3D, because He's so great. So there are four dimensions. When you look at the Lord Jesus from every angle, you find some unique thing about Him. They are not the same, and they do not contradict each other. Are you with me? So when you read the Gospel of Matthew, if you have been reading the scripture, I want you to look at it this way. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Spirit of God presents the Lord Jesus to us as King. So when you read the Gospel of Matthew, from the beginning, you catch that right away. This is a generation of Jesus Christ. He brings David right away. So when you read the Gospel of Matthew, you know. We are talking about the Lord Jesus as King. So everything there goes to present Him in His kingship, in His lordship, in His glory. When you read the Gospel of Mark, you don't read any genealogy. The Gospel of Mark presents to us the Lord Jesus as the servant. Therefore, if you count them, and I want you also to do that when you read the scripture, you get a pencil, and you count things, and you look at things. About 42 times, you'll find that expression, immediately or straight away. About 42 times. Why? Because He is a perfect servant. He has His ears open to hear what God is instructing Him to do. And you and I. If we are going to serve the Lord, to be instructed by Him, we need to hear His voice. And we need to act upon it immediately. That's the Gospel of Mark. If we read the Gospel of Luke, we find the Lord Jesus as a perfect man. In perfection of manhood. Every step of the way. Or you find Him there also as a priest. And when you come to the Gospel of John, you find Him, the Spirit of God, present Him to us as the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Comes right there to prove the greatness and the glory and the majesty of His eternal sonship, of His deity as God over all, blessed forever. Those are four of the five steps as we are building that door. The fifth one is the book of Acts. And when you read the book of Acts, you find how the Spirit of God are using the apostles and the disciples and the believers to go around everywhere. To preach the gospel and to establish assemblies. They go hand in hand. Some of the teaching that's going that is wrong. That's why we said important to realize what is the right teaching. Is that you just preach the gospel and people could go anywhere they want. Absolutely not true. If you preach the gospel to somebody, God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the truth that is connected with salvation is also connected with establishing the believer in regard to the matter of the assemblies. And that's what we read in the book of Acts. You don't read Paul just going preaching the gospel and say, hey guys, if you want to go anywhere, you go. No. There were assemblies established where the word of God was maintained and honored. And if somebody asks you, where do you go? And what do you do in the church you go to? Give you a simple answer. You don't have to struggle and trying to figure out how you're going to explain it to them. Just turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And that's what ought to be done in every local assembly. And it said there, and they steadfastly, continue steadfastly on the apostle doctrine. That is the ministry meeting. That is the Bible reading. Fellowship. That's what we enjoy with one another. Breaking of the bread. That's what we do every Lord's Day. And prayer. That's what constitutes the local assembly's function. It's right there in the book of Acts. Started there. And that's what we need to know. If I belong to a local assembly, I need the four of them. One of them could not just do it, breaking of the bread. I need the four of them. But in the book of Acts, if you read that, you will understand all of that stuff.